racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome once again into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, just been checking my Twitter account. I see reports from overseas that maybe we're going to have an announcement coming shortly. We don't know when, and this is not official, but indications are, Jay, what we had discussed the last couple of weeks, the Ryder Cup going to be postponed a year.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've talked to people that have come and played Gateway or been on Facebook and getting or Twitter and seen people's reactions to the fact that having no fans it changes that tournament probably more so than any other. The feel that it's become. I mean, you and I remember when this thing was an exhibition. And the U.S. basically won every year, and then things changed when they went away from just Great Britain and Ireland and opened up Europe and Kiowa and this and that, and it's become an experience. And, you know, I think it's the kind of event, as I said, is probably the only event. I mean, even I could see the Masters being played without a gallery. I think this is the one event that kind of needs it, and the players wanted it. The Europeans made it very clear that they didn't necessarily want to compete in a Ryder Cup that didn't have fans. And while it hasn't been officially announced, it's the worst-kept secret going.
Well, we got to give Jack Nicklaus some credit, too. The big change in the Ryder Cup as far as being competitive took place in the late 70s when Jack actually went to the PGA of America and said, why not, as you just said, Jay, open it to all of Europe? And boy, what a powerful suggestion that was.
Well, and to do it at that time with a guy like Seve, in Spain, that was becoming an elite player, the Welshman, Ian Woosnam. I mean, it was time for that to happen. And as I said, frankly, it was an exhibition and a bunch of dinners and some golf and some handshakes. And it has become, you know, in a sense, a knockdown, drag out battle that people talk about almost from the end of the Ryder Cup to the next one. And so it's, as I've said before, the PGA Tour, as great as they are and as strong as they are, in my opinion, does not have control over the five biggest events in the game, the four majors and the Ryder Cup. And it looks like we're going to postpone it a year to 2021. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I mean, I wouldn't even want to contemplate Ryder Cup without spectators, so I'm certainly quick to jump on the bandwagon. Let's postpone it a year rather than even have the possibility that it be played without fans. You mentioned one other tournament. I read some stuff earlier in the week, suggestions being made that the name of the event down in Augusta, they changed the name from the Masters. Your thoughts?
I saw it the other day. Somebody posted it on Facebook. And I'll be honest with you, Bob, I kind of thought it was just fake news, to be honest with you. But, you know, I would hope that people would look at that. And I think part of it is obviously the history of the club and the lack of African-Americans involved for so long, other than caddying, that adds to it. But I hope that people take that word, the Masters, and relate it to golf as the Masters of the game. It's a select few that get invited. It's a smaller field than any other tournament. And thus the Masters. I hope that that's the case. I know there are a lot of people, you know, that are trying to shake up a lot of different things. And a lot of our history is being torn down, rightly or wrongly. But I like to look at the term the Masters as it relates to that golf tournament and the game of golf as the best.
Very well said there, Jay. Other good news, certainly the U.S. Open is returning to NBC, and it'll be starting this year at Wingfoot. after Fox Sports has asked to end its 12-year contract with the USGA. I can almost see Fox officials arriving at the doorstep of Four Hills with a white flag saying, please, we got to give this back to you. We did not do a good job of covering the U.S. Open.
I term this for the good of the game.
Perfect.
And I love Joe Buck and I love Paul Azinger and they tried. I find it fascinating that Fox is going to pay some of the remaining contract money. They clearly, desperately wanted out of this deal. NBC, along with CBS, are the primary covers of the game. You're still going to have Paul Azinger in the tower on 18 or as the lead analyst. I find the timing very fascinating. You know, the one thing that some people have tried to say is, well, Fox had football on, would have been all locked in on football. Come on, stop it. Fox clearly wanted out of this deal, and as I said, I think it's for the better of the game.
And if you want to drill down just a little further on this story, it went too long ago that Pete Bevacqua, who headed up the PGA of America, left that position to go work with NBC Sports. You know, I know nothing definitive, but boy, if that's just a coincidence, it would be a big surprise to me.
Well, and the other side of this, and golf fans may not realize it, and they may not care, but you and I and our executive producer, Janice, know it. Essentially, the NBC owns the Golf Channel, and it makes sense for them to have big-time golf. Now, they've got the relationship with the Tour and CBS that allow them to do the early round coverage and then the early coverage on Saturday and Sunday, which they've actually been doing with the PGA Tour Live crew rather than a Golf Channel crew. So, you know, in the overall place, I think all of us were kind of shocked when Fox jumped in and, you know, were weary of what it might be. And while I think it did improve, I'm glad that they've kind of moved away. And the other side of it is the Golf Channel and NBC on the weekend will be all over the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Women's Amateur and the U.S. Women's Open.
And don't forget one important fact. Tommy Roy is the executive producer of any golf coverage on NBC.
And the best.
By and large, and I'm glad to hear you echo that sentiment, Jay, simply the best. Nobody's ever done that job any better than Tommy Roy. And congratulations. I know he's very happy to have it back. Mark Rolfing, a big part of NBC, he's thrilled to have it back. All right, we got to move along. More happening on the COVID-19 front. Seems the tour is taking the position that positive tests are going to be inevitable, but they support their players, and they're trying to do everything possible to maintain a safe environment. It's almost like they're playing with a powder keg, Jay.
It is, but I think they're doing everything to put that powder keg in an area where it's not going to be ignited. And, you know, when you look at the amount of testing they've done over the first 3 weeks and the small percentage of people that have tested positive, it is, I think, a good sign. I mean, every time you hear of one, you start to freak. And I understand. And you, because you start to think, oh, no, they're going to have to shut it down or what's going to happen. But they're doing everything they can. I think after the first couple of weeks, when they got back originally, it was a little bit of a low key, you know, hey, they're making us do this, but how much do we have to do? And I think once you got a couple of guys that tested positive, it hit home with a lot of guys. And you saw guys withdraw last week because of potential fears that either they might have it or a caddy might have it, or they just didn't want to play. So I'm hopeful that these numbers continue to be very small, and hopefully we do not have a large breakout arise. And, you know, I think the tour, in a sense, has been a leader amongst all the sports organizations, I guess you'd have to consider NASCAR too. And NASCAR, seemingly you would be in a much smaller environment or a much closer environment than the way you are outside as it relates to the game of golf. So I think that the tour has done a pretty good job.
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job, and it certainly was cast into a bright spotlight over the last few weeks. Both our executive producer, Janice Self, and yours truly here required some medical attention, and I remember specifically the doctor that attended Janice and the doctor that attended me saying, here, we'll give you a prescription. If the pain becomes too great, just take that. The tour, to ease the pain of the players, they're going to give them $100,000, and they're going to give the caddies $10,000. Man, I wish our doctors had that kind of pain relief to offer.
You might even have a couple of cats out there hoping they might contract it for a minute. I mean, that's 100 G's is a nice stipend. I think, again, it just shows the tremendous assets that the PGA Tour has to just say, okay, anybody that tests positive, we're going to give $100,000 to. And it says a lot about the tour that they're doing that.
Yeah, and one good thing that's come to light, and I don't know much about it, maybe you do, Jay, it's a WHOOP. It's called WHOOP. It's a form of a bracelet that kind of monitors the wearer's heart rate, strain, sleep, and recovery patterns. And I think it's painting a pretty good picture of the health of these professionals that are wearing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting so close to the point where if something is off, it raises the concerns, whereas you never would have had this type of situation before. In fact, you might not even feel a bit differently. But because the numbers are different, I mean, that's to the lengths that they're going to figure all this out. So, you know, I watch and I read and I see things, and this thing dates back to March, and you still wonder at times, Bob, if anybody knows what's going on or how serious or not serious. And when I say not serious, to the extent of being extremely serious, how this thing is.
Yeah, I think we're cruising, unfortunately, in uncharted waters. We can only hope that the greatest minds on the planet will come together and definitively, you know, draw up a roadmap for us to circumvent this and try and move on to things more normal.
And well, as soon as I tell you about Gateway National Golf Links, we're going to dig into the Travelers Championship and Dustin Johnson's 21st win. That's a bunch of W's. And then we'll preview the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning link-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
Welcome back in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. And Jay, boy, oh boy, he didn't put his name on an invite to the World Golf Hall of Fame, he's certainly knocking on the door. I'm talking about Dustin Johnson. Can you imagine it up in Hartford, Connecticut, that he's tied for 79th after the first round, and he goes on to win for his 21st victory and one major? In my book, he's already in the Hall of Fame if he does nothing more, but I am anticipating a lot more out of DJ. How do you feel?
I think you have to anticipate more out of this guy. He might be the only guy in the field that could have gone 64, 61, 67 and hoist the trophy. And he, you know, that back nine was very interesting. I mean, he showed that he's able to even make mistakes and overcome them with the out of bounds, with the shot that I don't know how it didn't go into the water on, I think it was 15 or 16 before the halt in play. I was really impressed after the round when Dustin talked to I think it was Amanda Baliones or whoever was doing the interview. He normally doesn't give a lot of himself. Very low-key dude. He talked about, you know, even though there's no fans, this is golf, and you get nervous. And, you know, he talked about when the horn went off for the delay, how he was going to come back and react. You know, I really appreciated this win for Dustin. His 21st moves, you know, goes past Haler when he's an auto Hall of Famer. But as you said, Bob, you wonder how much more will be written to the story.
Yeah, and part of that story certainly is the fact that his brother Austin on the bag, I think that's just incredible. And here's what Dustin Johnson had to say, and this is courtesy of PGA Tour Radio after his round.
No win out here is easy. So it is difficult. I've put in a lot of hard work, and you know, it's been a long time since I won, or to me it feels like forever. So you know, hopefully we're gonna, you know, I'm back to where I feel like I'm playing good, I'm swinging good, I'm healthy, and so you know, like I said, a few things to work on, but I'll be back strong for Memorial.
You know, it's amazing, Jed. Love the description of what transpired on Sunday. Dustin Johnson was hot for a while, but then stayed cool under pressure down the stretch, and that's what it takes to win on the PGA Tour.
It certainly does, and I thought for a minute after the OB that, you know, we were going to have a real close fight. But in the end, he did what he had to do as a champion does. And, you know, he ought to have probably three or four majors. He's got the lone major, the U.S. Open, so you know he wants to get that. And now technically, because of seasons, he has a win for 13 consecutive years on the PGA Tour. What a resume. Kevin Streelman tried, hit a lot of good shots down the stretch, but just couldn't get close enough.
Yeah, and good play by Will Gordon. Just coming out of college, he earns enough money. He went to Vanderbilt. He was a heck of a player, all SEC there for a few years, and he earns enough now to get special temporary membership. Just another one of those young guns that are bursting upon the scene.
Yeah, you got to throw Flash Gordon now into, I mean, this comes out of nowhere. This is off sponsors exemptions. I mean, he goes into that category of Matthew Wolf and Morikawa and Vic Hovland. You know, I mean, we had a number of years where guys weren't, you know, getting status after turning amateur and coming out and having success and either earning enough money or now being in a FedEx point situation to get temporary exemption. Well, we've seen a bunch of guys do it the last couple of years, some with wins, Gordon with a tie for third. My eyes are on him now moving forward. You know he's going to be playing every week with that opportunity that he's got right now. A good week for Mackenzie Hughes. He continues to play very solid. Always good to see Kevin Na up there. So, you know, it was another – this week's field is a little lighter than we've seen the first couple of weeks. And I think part of that is they're going to Jack's place next week. And the other fact is we talked about last week, Bob, a lot of these guys played all 3 weeks to start the year. Or to start the year back.
Yeah, no, good point there. I mean, it is a grind out there. Somebody that had something very interesting to say. I don't think I've ever heard a player ever say this before. Want to get your opinion, Jay, and I'm talking about Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson says all the courses are new to him now because he hits it so much further off the tee. And here's a little tidbit that I don't think many of our listeners realize. It was a pretty good golfer in his day by the name of Henry Cotton. He was so good, in fact, that he won 5 Open Championships. 5 Open Championships. You know what Bryson DeChambeau and Henry Cotton have in common? Henry Cotton's irons were all the same length.
Well, I must tell you, the guy drives me nuts.
It's a short drive.
That's a very good point, my friend. You don't have to go real far. I mean, I see these young people coming out the gateway, and they got their Puma on, and they got their hot brand shoes. Look like I would, you know, back when I was an 18-year-old and wanted to be a tour player, and it just drives me nuts. And they all love the guy. I mean, hold on a minute, folks. He has not won a major. This man has not figured out the game to the point where he knows it better than anybody else. I appreciate the talent. Once again, a top 10, a tie for 6, but his 180 ball speed or whatever, and his same shafts and his putting books and all that stuff. He didn't beat Will Gordon, a kid out of Vanderbilt, just fresh out of Vanderbilt. So I don't know. Bob, I feel like I'm, you know, getting too damn old or something. I sound like the old man, but just take it easy on the Bryson thing. I mean, let's win some more tournaments.
Bryson DeChambeau, just for your information, though, 46 under par in his last 3 events. 46 under par. Come on.
No trophies.
This guy, no trophies. I know, but he's on to something. He is.
Oh, no question. No doubt. He really firmly believes that he's going to be the first of a new generation that's hitting it 340, 350. I mean, he believes that. And as I've said before, and as you know, Bob, as being a good player back in the day, sometimes you got to fool yourself. You got to make yourself believe that you can do something in this game to get it done. And he's a firm believer in everything he does. It just drives me nutty.
Let me ask you this. How far down the road before we're going to see a Popeye spinach logo on Bryson DeChambeau's bag?
I mean,
his muscles now look like Popeye.
I am, in a sense, surprised that there hasn't been more talk of potential performance enhancements. However, he would probably be the last cat in the world to do that. So maybe that's why, that he's just, I mean, they say he's doing 2 or 3 workouts a day, and 2 of them during tournaments. So, you know, we'll see. I'm certainly keeping my eye on him every week.
All right, let's move along to the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's going to be held at the Detroit Golf Club. Maybe a good spot for Ricky Fowler to bust through. He is the spokesperson. He hasn't tasted that winner's circle in quite a while, almost one of the forgotten guys out on the PGA Tour. I kind of like him going into the week.
Well, you hope he plays well because he draws a lot of eyes and attention. This is going to be interesting for a lot of guys that played last week at TPC River Highlands, which is the second shortest golf course in terms of yardage. The number one, hard to believe, the number one shortest golf course is Pebble Beach. But, you know, this has got some, depending on how far they go with it, 7340. This is an altitude in Detroit, baby. This is a long golf course. So, you know, Ricky's a long hitter. We talked about DeChambeau, Bob. He's in a featured pairing with some boys that can move it out there. Patrick Reed, who continues to play well, had a good final round at Hartford, and young Hideki Matsuyama. DeChambeau, this is 4 in a row for him. I wonder how long, you know, if he's going to play the first near field event or take a week off and play the second. But you know, you got Bubba Watson, who I thought would play a little better last week in Hartford, where he's had some success. Jason Day, who is, I don't want to say it, but yeah, I will say almost in that Ricky Fowler category of you never exactly know what you're going to get. And then Brennan Todd, who tied for, who led last week going to the final round and then kind of spit the bit and finished tied for 11th.
He had a bad Sunday, but, you know, he's a 2-time winner on tour this year. That counts very well in the banking department. Ricky Fowler's going to be playing with Nate Lashley, Webb Simpson. It's going to be a good tournament. That's the only way. I think every tournament's been good. I think The PGA Tour has done a wonderful job in bringing professional sports live back on the television. Millions and millions of golf fans are tuning in and really appreciating the combined effort of not only the players, but the officials, and of course, all guided by Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. I think he's just doing an incredible job. Victor Hovland's going to be playing. Finally, Rory McIlroy's taking a week off. I think that's a good idea. Dustin Johnson, he's got to count up that little over $1 million he added to his payroll last week, so he's off. And Colin Morikawa, who finally missed the cut, first one as a professional, and I guess he figured out he's a little bit tired, so he's taking a week off.
We're in a situation now, Bob, that the next kind of hurdle with the PGA Tour is the fact that they, after next week, this week Detroit, next week the first of two in Dublin, Ohio at Muirfield Village, then the following week is when they said they were going to have fans. And they've been extremely quiet on that front. We know that the PGA of America made the decision that the PGA Championship, the week of August 6th through the 13th or 6th through the 12th, is not going to have fans. Will the PGA Tour make the decision to wait maybe until after the PGA Championship to introduce fans into the mix? We'll have to wait and see, but that may be something we're talking about next week, an announcement on that front.
Believe it or not, our time is up for this edition of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Hey, thanks for listening.